you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near.
So good to see you. We hope that it's clear.
Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, February 17th, 2023. I opened up with Isaiah 26, 1, because today's theme that Pastor Jason Schiffel is going to facilitate our discussion on is, where is God? Maybe something that you're saying today during all this toil and tribulation that's going on, maybe disappointment that you're having and you're wondering, where is God during those times, or the suffering that goes on. You might say, where is God in that? Or you're dealing with some heartache, some loss. Maybe a loved one is sick or you've lost your job. You might ask, where is God? Well, hopefully through our discussion today, springboarding off of Isaiah 26:1, we'll shed some light that there is a loving God that cares. And two people that I know care about God and about this radio ministry and are friends of mine that came all the way in from Mount Zion is Jerry and Brenda Baldwin. Thank you for joining us today, along with the Zools and Tad and then Alaric and Pastor Jason Schiffel. So we have a room full of friends that will help facilitate this discussion. And where do we jump into this, Jason?
Well, I think really with the question, where is God? Because either we're going to ask that question at some point. If you're walking near God, if you're walking with God, if you are faithful and you are looking for God, at some point you are going to look around and ask, where is God? Or you are going to run into somebody else who is asking that question. It's a question that's inescapable if you're actually living in and amongst people and you're actually a part of what God is doing in the world, because there will be places that you'll look and you'll go, I don't see God working there. I don't understand. More so, it's not that we don't see him working. It's that we don't understand how he's working in those situations. Mm. So let me ask that question. I want to throw it out to you guys to share. Where is God? Elmer's looking up.
Alaric, are you going to point at your heart, or like he's inside you in a sense?
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
God is everywhere.
Okay. God is everywhere.
In everyone.
That's one of the things we should praise him for when we pray, is that he's always present. He's always paying attention. Mm-hmm. Even when we think he's not, he's there watching and suffering along with us.
Mm. Amen.
If you were going to ask me, Jason, I would say I see him in his handiwork. When I look at the stars at night, when you look at the sky and see the clouds, when you just look at this creation, you think, wow, there's something behind it all. And so I see God in nature. Is it in Romans or somewhere? His handiwork proclaims his glory? Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah. So what I've heard is that God is everywhere. So if God is everywhere, let me ask a follow-up question. Then why is it so hard for us sometimes to see him? You know, it's sort of like you would say, well, the elephant in the room. Why can't we understand the elephant is in the room?
One thing is the hardest right now for Jerry and I have had 5 deaths in 1 year. Mm-hmm. Okay, so as you say, where is God? Where is God in this? Okay, I mean instant death. Okay, terrible, terrible nightmares, just nightmare death. Mm-hmm. And you've got to realize that he is always in control. Jerry and I have discussed it, and we just got to keep, as he said, looking up. Mm-hmm. Because he's the only answer. You know, you don't talk to your friends. You know, thank God I've got him, mm-hmm. and he's got me. But I mean, it's kind of funny when you go through this much tragic in 1 year that you don't have nobody. I mean, somebody will listen to you for 5 minutes, okay? But then, don't get me wrong, I understand it. It's like, please shut up. You know, I don't care to hear no more. I mean, that's the way I put it. But he's there 24/7. Mm. So I can see him in the car. I can see him driving. I can see him in my home. I can clean the house and see, you know, like feeling him, you know. Mm. So that's where I think this is a testing time for Jerry and I in our lifetime. It's been pretty rough.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing that, because that's a very personal way, because I think that sometimes it's very hard for us personally. But then we think culturally, too, right? We look around, and I made just a short list as I was sitting here a moment ago. I mean, there's cultural confusion. The price of gas is so high. The cost of living, corrupt politicians, train derailments, the price of eggs, war, the rumors of war. And now, you know, I was listening to the news this morning, and I guess I have to be worried about UFOs.
No, you don't. They keep shooting them down.
I was commenting this morning. I was saying we were sitting at the table before the kids went to school, and I said, "Oh my goodness, now I have to be worried about UFOs." And my 10-year-old son looks at me and he goes, "Dad, we got this." And I said, "Speak for yourself." But when we talk about both personal and cultural all around us, we run into all these different situations where, if we're honest, our human experience is to go, where is God? And so we need to be reminded of who God is. And so there's kind of three core theological things, three ways that we need to remember who God is. They're big words, but they're all tied together. And they're all wrapped around the fact that God is sovereign. One of the things I think is that a lot of our problems or a lot of our frustrations or a lot of our difficulties come when we forget that God is sovereign. When we make God smaller than he truly is, and when we forget that he is the Alpha and the Omega from the beginning to the end, that he is in all things, that what Colossians says in the first chapter, that all things are made by him and for him, and he holds all things together, that all things are made through him. So whatever that something is that you're going through is part of the all things that God holds together. But three big words: God is omniscient, God is omnipotent, and God is omnipresent. So somebody who has a Bible would turn to Psalm 147 and verse 5 and read that for us. And the first one we're going to talk about is the fact that God is omniscient. And the meaning of omniscient is simply this, that God knows everything. That there isn't like something that God doesn't know. That God knows all things. Now, sometimes that can be really difficult for us, but that's the reason why the Bible is honest when it says to us, who can know the mind of God? Because I'm limited in the amount of things I can know. I'm limited in what I can understand with this, my wife says sometimes, smaller mind. But I am limited. But God is not limited. He is unlimited. And so one of his character traits, key character traits to who he is that he is omniscient. If you can, someone can read that, Psalm 147 and 5.
Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit.
That's right. So this psalmist says, great is the Lord. The Lord is great and abundant in power. So not only is he great, and when we say great, by the way, unfortunately, we use the word great for all kinds of things, right? My wife made a chocolate cake last night. I said, boy, is this great. But when I say God is great, that's on a whole nother level. And so we can't kind of bring God down to these terms that we have. Instead, these terms are expanded in a way that is bigger than we'll ever understand. So great is our Lord and abundant in power, which means he has more power than we can even comprehend or understand. And then it says this, his understanding is what, Gail?
Has no limit.
Has no limit. Has no limit. How many times have we, in our short-sightedness, limited the understanding of God?
Every day.
How many times have we prayed and said, God, do you know what I'm going through? And he's like, yeah, unlimited. There is no limit to my understanding. I know what you're going through. But again, it's that wrestling match that we have with ourselves where we say, God, do you even understand what I'm going through? Do you even know what I'm going through? And he's like, I sure do. Mm-hmm. The fact that I'm listening to you right now tells you that I do. So God is omniscient. He knows all things. Then if somebody can read for me Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And the second one is that God is omnipotent, which means that God is all-powerful. That God has all the power. Any way we want to define what power is, God has all of it. He's the original superhero with superpowers. He has all the power. Genesis 1:1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah. So God's power created all the things that we know. So if we want to say, well, how powerful is God? Well, he created all things. John chapter 1 and verse 1 goes on to say that also, doesn't it? It repeats for us and then adds to that Christ, which is God's greatness and his power is shown forth in the fact that he gave us Jesus. Now, he didn't give us Jesus so simply we would have a Savior. He gave us Jesus also so that we would know him. That's what Romans tells us in chapter 8, right?
And doesn't Jesus even say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father?
Exactly. Exactly. And so Jesus is, he is our Savior. Don't get me wrong. I'm not diminishing that at all. But he is also the pathway in which we actually get to be called sons and daughters by God. That we get to call God Father. I mean, for the people who walked in Jesus' day, to hear the word Abba, the way it's framed in Romans 8, is almost derogatory to them because they can't imagine that nearness and closeness that God desires. So what does God do with this great power that he has? He bridges the gap between us and him so that we can know his great love. That's what he does. So you want to know what great power is supposed to do? God says it's supposed to show forth love. It's supposed to express love in an extravagant way that is willing to go to any measure. So God is omniscient. He knows all things. God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Again, all things are made by him and through him. I love Matthew chapter 19 and 26 where Jesus says, with man, this is impossible. But with God, what?
All things are possible.
Right. And so sometimes for me, I have to take that verse in Matthew when I'm going through something and I have to go, this seems impossible. And with me, it is. But with him, it is not. I have to shift my perspective off of me and to him because I think things are impossible. And God goes, no, actually, I do a lot of that right before lunch. I can totally do this. I got this. So God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. And the last one is God is omnipresent. Can somebody read Psalm 90 and verse 2? Psalm 90 and verse 2. And so omnipresent is really actually, I think, of all of them, the most difficult. It means that God is everywhere at once. Now, listen, that doesn't mean that God is in China and he's in the United States and he's in Antarctica and he's in Africa all at once. It means that God is everywhere in all time all at once. God is in the past, he's in the present, he's in the future, he's in today. He is everywhere all at once. He stands above time and he looks at all time all at once. Which, I mean, if you really try and think about that, you're going to need a bottle of aspirin.
I see Tad's head.
So can somebody read Psalm 90 and verse 2?
Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
So before the mountains were brought forth, what is that?
Creation.
Before creation.
Yeah, so before anything was made, before God even formed the earth, he was present. So at the very beginning where there is nothing, God calls that nothingness into something. That's what Genesis chapter 1 is. And then when things cease to be as we know them to be, God still is there, right? Because at the end of the book, what does it say? If you go all the way to the end, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Which means that after all things no longer look like we think they ought to look, or they do look now, God is still making that invitation come. He's still speaking, which is pretty amazing. So God stands above all time. From the beginning, when there was nothing, to the end, when it'll look entirely different. God sees all of that all at one time. Which, listen, that's really crazy when you think about it. Like Mark keeps saying about Tad's head keeps exploding. But think about that, because that means that the sin that I'll commit tomorrow, God already sees. Mm-hmm. And he's going, oh, dear, please don't do that. You know, I only have to see my children's mistakes as they make them. I don't see them before they make them. Right. Sometimes I see them a little ways off and I go, please don't go that way. I know this ends badly. But God sees from the time I was born going, ah, boy, 10 years old is going to be really tough. And 13, I really wished he wouldn't do what he's going to do there. And at 20, oh gosh. But he's going to get a little better at 30. And maybe halfway through at 50, he'll figure some things out, but maybe not. But listen, God sees all of that all at once.
You know what? I take great hope in that because when I accepted Jesus and asked him into my heart, he knew all the failings, all the shortcomings into the future, and yet he still chose to reveal himself, and I chose to accept him as Savior. And it's like he entrusted that knowledge to me, even knowing at future points in time I was going to fail him. Yeah. But I kind of delight or enjoy the fact that he knew everything about me all along through my future, and yet still brought me to that point.
Well,
of salvation.
He provided for you, right? Because we always joke in our house. I prayed that God would make me more like him, and my wife says that's why we got married. And then I said I pray that that God would continue to conform me into his image. Well, that's why we have four kids. Because there's nothing that will teach you about how you walk alongside your heavenly Father than to have children and go, oh, is that how I act?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so God is omniscient. What does that mean?
Knows all things.
God is omnipotent. What does that mean?
All powerful.
God is omnipresent. What does that mean?
All present.
Yep. He is, as the psalmist said in Psalm 90, verse 2, that before the world was made, he was everlasting to everlasting. So as far as you can understand, God still exists, and he exists even beyond that. And so now, because I know Mark's been dying, because when I came in today, he goes, did you get this right? Did you really mean Isaiah 26 and verse 1? Because I don't understand how that ties into where is God?
Yes.
Okay. So this past week when I was getting ready for Bible study fellowship, I read this verse. And I paused and I sat back and I just couldn't believe this verse. Because it says, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. Now, scripture is inspired by who?
Holy Spirit.
God. So the same God who is omnipresent, who stands above time and sees all time all at once, in this scripture here writes, things aren't going well right now, but in that day there'll be a song that will be sung. God is talking to his people and saying, I've seen a day to come that you don't realize is coming, and on that day you will sing a song that you didn't know you had the strength to be able to sing. Yeah. And listen, when the verse goes on, it says this, open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. He's saying, be faithful. Those gates are going to open up and you're going to be able to come in and sing that song and worship. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. That's the person who says, where is God? Okay, he's here. He's here and he's present now. This seems impossible, but all things are possible with him. I need to not operate where God is limited by my understanding, but instead by how he defines his own self, that he is everlasting to everlasting. Verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. By the way, the writer who is writing this in Isaiah, he's not looking at a little stone. He's looking at a rock that can't be lifted. And then he says this, for he has humbled the inhabitants of the height of the lofty city. He lays it low to the ground and casts it to dust. What he's saying is all these limited understandings of who God is, God has said, no. I'm going to demolish all of those things because I'm bigger than you know. I'm greater than you know. And so the God who stands above all time and all things says to his people as an encouragement, there is a day coming that I have seen, that I know about, where you will sing a song that you didn't know you were able to sing. You will be able to praise in a way you didn't know that you were able to praise. And every single moment that you asked, where was I? You'll be reminded that I was there the whole time. I was there the whole time. Because I am, as the word says here, forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. He's not eroded by our own difficulties and problems. He's not diminished by our misunderstandings and misconceptions of him. He is everlasting to everlasting.
You know, Jason, I'm wondering if, using Brenda maybe as an example, because there is such heartache and suffering and pain in this earth, and I wonder if maybe some of these things aren't totally resolved till we're in glory with him singing, where there is no pain or suffering or heartache. I mean, we can get glimpses of it certainly here, but the reality is it's a sin, sick, fallen world. And sometimes, I mean, we can have the peace of Christ, but we still struggle with the pain and the heartache.
When something's broken, what's your first inclination?
Fix it.
Yeah, fix it. The world is a broken place, and we can't fix it. And it makes us crazy. It makes us crazy, but we know who can. And he invites us to stand in his presence and watch him work. It reminds me of my 10-year-old son. He comes to me all the time, and he says, Dad, this is broken, you know, and he's got action figures that the head's popped off or the arm's broken off or whatever it is. And he goes, Dad, it's broken. And I said, let's go in the garage. And what do we do in the garage? We fix it. We super glue it back on. We put a screw in something. We wire it back together. We fix it. And in the same way, I need to learn to humble myself like my 10-year-old son and come to my Heavenly Father and go, Father, this is broken. What do I do? And I think in that moment, our Heavenly Father invites us into the garage to watch him do a work, to watch him do something that we couldn't possibly understand. And it's not for us to understand. I think instead it's for us to stand in awe of. And so the fact that in the middle of this, there has to have been moments where you felt comfort. And how could that be? That's almost something that you have to be in awe of these multiple deaths and these things that you've gone through. There still have been moments of encouragement and comfort. And how could that be possible?
Because he's the only one.
Exactly. Exactly.
And
sometimes we go through hard things to be reminded that we only have one sure and steady anchor.
Or you go to him and you say, not this is broken, but I am broken.
Exactly.
And I can't fix me. Yeah. And he's like, I know. I've been waiting all this time for you to come and say that. Yeah. So now we can get going on it.
Yeah. Well, it's like my son. What I say to my son is, I said, how did this happen? And he goes, Dad, I'm an expert at breaking things.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
And I go,
that'll
so
preach.
Am I. Yeah, yeah. So am I.
Brenda went through all this in the same year, 2022. We were blessed so immensely. We had a hailstorm, got a new roof put on, no cost. We qualified through an Ameren program and Air King. We got a new furnace, new air, new insulation at no cost. So
like $50,000 that we do not have, period, okay? And I told him, I said, well, I mean, the hailstorm is so funny because it's the first time in our life. We've been married almost 60 years. We just had a birthday. You know, a week ago, we had the same birthday. So we're soulmates. We've always loved each other. But it's so cute. I'll bounce off of him, and then he bounces off of me. But the cutest thing was, I said, we're old. I said, let's try, you know. And then we have this hailstorm. And only by the grace of God, we did take pictures. Because, you know, they fight with the insurance companies. No, you didn't. Everybody did. We got, like, our addition, 50 houses got 50 new roofs. And we didn't qualify. Oh, yes, we did. Because you know me, I pray. Got the right person. But then it was so cute. So then I get this letter on the furnace and thing. And it's about time. You know, it's coming up. And I said, Jerry, we can try. I mean, all you can do is try. I mean, that's the same thing with God, too. Just try. You can pray one more prayer. You can read that Bible another hour. You can talk to somebody that is always worse off than you. Okay? And I deal with that every day. But anyway, it's so funny. So I said, and he goes, honey, real cute, honey, I don't think so. I said, honey, I'm going to try. I'm calling. So he goes out in the yard because he don't want to deal with nothing. Believe me, I know. I've been married to him forever. And he goes out in the yard, and in 5 minutes, the guy's in my kitchen, and he goes, yeah, you guys qualify. We're like, we're in wild mode, you know. So I go out in the garage, and I said, Jerry, come here. It's free. Everything is free. He goes, I don't know how it happened. The guy said, don't worry about it. It's all free. So I'm like, honey, don't say nothing else.
Yeah.
But this is where sometimes when you don't have it, and it can be anything, right? Mm-hmm. Then God just comes through, and you're like, it has to be God. Because nobody else is going to hand you a nice big fat check. I mean, you know, unless you're crazy. And it ain't going to be good if they do, right?
Well, listen, from furnaces to roofs.
Yeah.
To that encouraging word that somebody may have shared in a moment when you really needed it.
Yeah.
God's grace is evident.
Right. Yes.
Amen and amen. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, in a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.